All right, I'm Flex Pavilion.
Hello, this is Andrew W.K.
Yo, 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 it's Miles from Slack Stupid.
This is Ali.
This is Nick from Chuk Chuk Chuk.
What's up, guys? This is the Chain Smoker. Is the name of school from Ghost?
This is Beefcake the Mighty from Guar.
Hey, folks, we're Royal Blood.
And you're currently listening to Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions. Sound Sessions.
Sound what?
Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions.
You're listening to the sweet sounds of Sound Sessions. Thank you.
Hello, Homo Sapiens. This is Clementine from Cherry Glazer. You are listening to Sound Session.
Welcome to another episode of Sound Sessions here on WGN Plus in Chicago. Cherry Glazer has been one of LA's fastest growing rock bands over the last few years. Known as kind of like a darker kind of crooner rock, they're playing February 24th and 25th at Talia Hall in Chicago, opening up for bands Best Coast and Waves. And I am so delighted to be speaking to the band Cherry Glazer. What's going on, everybody? So you guys are traveling. You guys are traveling from Austin all the way through the great state of Texas right now to Dallas. How's that going?
Going great. Stopped at a rest stop, and we are now on the freeway, Sun Valley Boulevard. Here we come.
Life on the road. So if you want to just, could you send the phone around real quick, and can everyone just tell me what their names and what they do in the band?
Sure. I'm Clementine. I play guitar, sing, write.
I'm Amy, that's Salami with an S, and I play guitar and synth and some vocals.
I'm Tabor, and I drum.
Hey, Sean Stapler. Yeah.
Yep, that's all of us. And Ryan, our tour manager, he's running out of data.
So, now, most of the band was still in high school when you guys started the group. How did Cherry Glazer kind of become to be with all this, like, outside noise happening? And how did you guys just get your start?
Well, we did happen to be in high school when we started the band. That's just how it worked out. I don't know. I started playing music, started playing guitar when I was, like, 12, 13. Started recording my own music with the help of my friend.
Very nice.
She helped me record. Then I met Joel Jerome. He recorded Papa Crump, he recorded Hacks the Princess, then I graduated, now we're on the road.
And that's the way it is, that's the way it is. So what was your first like instinct to like pick up a guitar and everything? What did your family play guitar? Are they instrumental as well?
Yeah, my family's pretty musical. My uncle actually has a musicale for his birthday. Shout out.
So I wanted to know, like, how did you balance being in a band with, you know, still being in high school, looking into college, like, everybody's around you with your friends, like, dividing all that time? How did you guys get down to the nitty-gritty and really focus on creating this successful beast, which is now Cherry Glazer?
Wow, thank you. Well, it was fairly difficult to juggle at first because, like you mentioned, I was in high school, and we were trying to book our own tours and, push our album. But we have a team now to help us, and I'm not in high school anymore, so it's much, much easier.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a full-time job. It was obviously hard to juggle with at first, being in high school and trying to tour. But it is not so hard anymore.
Mm-hmm. That speaks to like the driving spirit that you have when you're creating a band, right? Because you want to do what you love, and what better thing to do than play music? And I think that is the motor probably inside of you that's pushing you to get past all those outside obstacles and everything.
Definitely true.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely true. I mean, I feel lucky and grateful to be able to play music for a living, and it didn't seem like a choice or an option. It just felt like a necessity, always has.
Now, you're fairly a DIY band. Having your first few demos were actually on cassette tape, which I think it's totally rad because I'm kind of like an old school vinyl collector, cassette collector myself. And how has your relationship grown with working with Burger Records? And, you know, you kind of gave them a cassette tape of yours to play one day. And now are they putting more invested interest in you guys? Or what's that dynamic like now?
We owe a lot to Burger Records. Yeah, they were definitely kickstarted our career, and like they've gotten us shows, gotten us fans. We can't have asked for a better start, and we owe a lot to them. And they have great taste, a couple of tastemakers, doing the right thing, and yeah, no, it's a great way to start out. Definitely.
On Twitter, I saw this awesome quote from Sasami. We should just do what we want that's fun every night and not apologize for it. Now, is this the mantra that's taking
so
control of this? Oh, definitely.
The other day, she just said, I have to stop saying things around you because I've been tweeting all of her great quotes. I just tweeted a new one a minute ago. You should check it out. I tweeted, good for the soul, bad for the whole, if you know what I'm talking about, in reference to Carl's Jr.
So true. That can be devastating on the intestines for sure.
Tell me about it.
That might be inspiration for a new song.
Yeah, Meat Shit by Clem. I mean, by Jerry Glazer.
You know, I really love the songs that you write, Clem, because the way that they kind of, you know, touch the soul in a little bit of a different way, it almost tickles it a little bit more than just, you know, getting right into the core of it. So what is the difference between...
Yeah, that's cool.
What's the difference between you and other songwriters like of today?
I don't know. I guess I couldn't answer that question. I'm influenced by a lot of different songwriters. I'm influenced by my environment. I'm influenced by the media. A lot of it is subconscious influences. So I don't know how I'm different than other songwriters these days. I think there are a lot of really strong songwriters these days, like Kendrick Lamar, Action Bronson, Courtney Barnett. A lot of really great lyricists. And I think the political climate, you know, subconsciously ties into my lyrics, as does technology and, you know, just, I think that's true for all artists and songwriters. And irony is just important to me. I think as humans, we have a lot of, I think as humans, in order to grapple with, like, all the shit in the world, we have humor, and I cherish it, and I like to make it a part of my art.
It's so true, because you touch on a lot of chords that most people don't really touch in their songs. Mainly, for me, one of the first songs that I heard from Jerry Glazer, I was driving down the road, and by the way, perfect driving music for all of our listeners. If you want to throw on a great album to just drive across the country, you put on that Hacksaw Princess, and it's going to be fantastic. But the one that really touched me was the fact that you wrote a song about grilled cheese sandwiches, which happened to be my favorite type of sandwiches
sure
of all time.
Ooh, me too. Now, you know, I just made a really good grilled cheese the other night, and what I did was I cut an onion right down the middle, and then I cut it again right down the middle, and then I grilled onions, and then I put some tomato in it. I used three different types of cheese and a very delicious organic sourdough. Talk about a grilled cheese sandwich, bro.
That's one of the top grilled cheese sandwiches ever.
It is about the butter. Yeah.
Now, when you're coming here to Chicago, I do have a little bit of insight for you. We have this place that specifically focuses on grilled cheese sandwiches called Cheesy's, and I might say that you need to check it out while you're here in the city.
Cheesy's? I'd love to. Yeah. I'm from Chicago, you know.
You're from Chicago?
Yep.
And which?
From Evanston.
Oh, from Evanston. So you have, like, roots here in the city. That's so fantastic. What was it like growing up in Evanston?
It was great. I went to St. A's, and it was great. I love Evanston. It's my hometown. I think it's a, you know, family oriented, safe environment. It's super close to the city without as much fog. I don't know. It was great.
You can still see the stars out there.
I love Chicago. You can still see the stars out there. That is something we don't get in L.A.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So when you were living in Chicago or in Evanston, did you have any dreams of, going to the city and maybe playing a venue like the Metro, or now that you're playing Talia Hall, or checking out some of those places when you were growing up? Do you remember going to any shows back in the city?
Yeah, I remember going to the Aragon and being totally elated.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I saw the Black Keys there.
Wow.
Many years ago, probably 4 or 5 years ago.
That must have been a huge show. Because
I guess that's not many years ago, but in my lifetime it is. Yeah, it was phenomenal. I had who opened for them? It was the Green, what were they called? I can't remember right now. Green Hornets. Something like that. They were really cool too, I remember. And that was one of my first shows, actually. And I remember having this whole revelation about opening bands and being like, I don't know who these guys are. Good for them that they're playing on this stage right now and I'm watching them and I don't even know who they are. And now I do because I forgot their name, so I guess I don't. But I don't know. Yeah.
Good point.
That definitely was like a point in my life where I think I can do this. Mm-hmm. I think this is what I want to do.
That's such a beautiful notion too, because are you finding yourself embracing the fact that you're an opening band for such big bands like Best Coast and Waves? And are these people who are coming to see your shows really connecting with you and coming up to you and being like, hey, I didn't know about you before, but hell yeah, I'm totally on Team Cherry Glazer. What's that like?
Yeah, exactly. It's amazing. It's exactly what you'd hope for. It's exactly what you'd hope for as an opening band. And it makes me excited that people are, it put things into perspective for you, because it's like, these people are only watching you. It's all about the music right now. They're not listening to the hype. They don't know about us. They're just, this is a fresh, raw, completely new experience for them. And for them to embrace it, it means that feels good. That feels right. That means that we're doing something right.
What kind of experiences with fans have you had so far? Have you had any weird experience where they're like, oh my gosh, totally fangirling out on you, or has it been pretty low key, just much respect to the band?
Well, both. yeah, both.
Very cool. Very cool.
I love the fans. It's weird though. It never gets easier. Well, I guess it kind of does. I've been trying to pay attention and focus on how artists treat their fans and how they interact with their fans without being inauthentic.
Mm-hmm.
And is that a word? Yeah, whatever. And I'm trying to, in order to be inauthentic and have no inhibitions, you have to just clear your mind and be totally you can't be jaded, and you just have to completely appreciate everything that the fan says and try to put yourself in their shoes, even though you hear it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard because you hear it all the time, but and I don't mean that in any oh, we're so huge or so awesome or we're I'm not trying to put us on a pedestal or anything, but it does. We have a lot of fans, so it's cool to hear that all the time. And I don't want to become jaded to it. It's it's hard not to, because you hear it a lot, and it can feel like white noise. But I don't want it to be white noise when people say that they love and appreciate the music. So it's interesting. It's difficult to try and completely clear your mind and completely appreciate everything that every fan said, and that's what I want to do.
Yeah,
and have relationships with them, because if I was a fan, I remember I've met a few of my heroes. I've worked with, I've met Death Grips and I've worked with Tyler and Tyler the Creator, sorry, and just being able to be a fan and have my dreams come true by working with them and having them look at me and hear what I'm saying and appreciate what I'm saying and appreciate what I'm offering is, like, so fucking cool. And I want fans to have that experience as well.
I love that. You know, genuineness really shines through, and I'm sure a lot of your fans do see that. You can see the genuineness on your album as well. Speaking about albums, when's the new one coming out? Are you guys working on it? And is writing a little bit weird on the road?
We just finished recording.
Oh, that's awesome.
We just finished recording. We're finishing overdubs and vocals when we get back, but we finished basic tracking. We recorded at Sunset Sound with Joe Ciccarelli, the producer. It was a really awesome experience, and it's going to sound killer. It's going to sound different. It's not DIY. It's not lo-fi garage pop anymore. And it's taken a natural and organic evolution. It's undergone, a natural and organic evolution. So it's not like we were pushed into anything. This is every decision I've made and felt good about. But it is really different. And it's, like, weird because I feel like some fans are going to be like, oh, you know, they're not the same, nothing's the same, but change is natural, and it's hard for the outsiders to accept, but as the artist, it feels right, and you just have to push through the negativity and come out stronger.
I love that. Are there any exclusives you can give us? Like, have you worked with anybody on the album? Did you have any, like, guest appearances or anything like that?
No. No guest appearances. It's all Cherry Glazer. It's all the four of us.
Good.
But
the way we like it.
I would like, but I'm not opposed to that. There's mm-hmm. people I would love to work with and have featured on our album one day soon, maybe for the next one.
You've worked with such great artists over the last few years. Who would be some of the artists that you would like to have on the album one day?
Let's see. Cherry Brownstein.
Oh, yeah.
Living or Dead?
Living or Dead.
Or Just Living. Okay. Zappa.
That would be very cool.
I'm trying to think of, like, current day shredders.
Yeah.
There's this band in L.A. called Wand. Their frontman, Corey, is really phenomenal. I'd love to work with him. Death Grips. I hear Stereo Lab is working on a new record. And That'd be cool. And damn, who else? I wanna name drop artists that I love. Wand is a sort of a new band that's not so popular yet. That should be. LA Witch also, really great LA surf rock band.
Mm-hmm.
Very good though. A little darker. Yeah, it's surf rock. Totally surf rock. Sean's shaking his head. He says it's not surf rock. It is.
it's debatable. You know,
nothing wrong with surf rock.
Exactly.
It is darker, but maybe it's a little doomier. Maybe it's more like doomy garage rock.
I can dig that.
Maybe it has some post-punk influences as well.
Very cool, very cool. Before I let you guys go, by the way, thanks again for joining us here on Sound Sessions. You can catch Cherry Glazer the 24th and 25th of February at Talia Hall with Best Coast and Waves. And I got to say, you guys have conquered so many of your goals already, playing Pitchfork, Goth Fest, pretty much all over the place. Where are you guys at right now? I mean, what are the goals in the next couple years that you're, like, really striving to reach?
Well, we're just working pretty hard for the rest of this year to put out an awesome record that will reach as many people as possible. So pushing the album, finishing the album, working on art, and then after that, you know, just doing a headlining tour with the record. I guess what my goals are to just essentially make as many people as possible feel something based solely on our music.
Mm-hmm.
Feel something, anything, whether they hate it or they love it.
I love that. I love that. Now, my last question to you guys. I know the name has just taken on a whole story of itself. The name Cherry Glazer is actually the name of a radio broadcaster out in California. Now, myself, I'm a very I'm a very big radio nerd myself, and I listen to NPR and all those great stations out in L.A. when I was living out there. But I got to know, you you being from Chicago, do you remember any of your favorite Chicago broadcasters that were some of your favorite back in the day?
Oh, God, I don't know. I can't remember. I listened to B96.
Oh, throwback to B96. Very nice.
I listened to like, New Trier radio and college radio whenever I was driving through the area. And what else? I just saw a big-ass barbecue sign, next stop. We are surely in Texas.
That's fantastic. Well, what about
the biggest BBQ I've ever seen?
Are you guys going to be playing South by Southwest again, speaking of barbecue, this year?
I don't think we're going to be playing this year, no. But that's why we're coming through Texas on this run.
Very cool, very cool. Well, Clementine, I can't thank you enough. This is Clementine Creevy of the band Cherry Glazer. And you can see them again at February 24th and 25th at Talia Hall with Best Coast and Waves. Clementine, I can't thank you enough for joining us today on Sound Sessions. Have a great tour.
Thank you. Thank you.
Get enough of Sound Sessions? Like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter @SoundSeshPod, and check us out on Instagram @SoundSessionsWGN.